This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You win? Okay. You're hanging tough. We'll see where it goes. The gentleman who will be calling that game for us on the Browns Radio Network joins us right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He also happens to be a diehard Guardians fan. He's Mr. Andrew Siciliano.
Hello, Andrew.
Good morning, guys. Hey, correct me with my calendar. It is the Rock and Roll Hall, is that next week or in 2 weeks?
It's the 19th.
Okay.
So 10 days from today.
Next week. Okay. I got to work on that.
You'll be in town.
Saturday night, right?
Yeah. You'll be in town on the 20th.
All right, we got to work on that. Maybe I could, you know, Fife's no longer there. May rest in peace. Maybe I could take his spot.
You'd do well. You would do well.
No, I wouldn't. You should wear a tribe hat, by the way, back in the day.
Maybe we can auction you off for charity so you could go with somebody. Want to do that?
No, I was just thinking, you know, the height thing.
Oh.
You know.
There it is. But before we get to the Browns.
Five foot assassin with a rough neck business. Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
He can foot like gravity. I don't think he's ever had a cavity either. Have you had a cavity, Andrew? You could fill in.
I have, actually. Yeah, I'm not. As a kid, I wasn't good with the brushing.
Alex Cobb will make his fourth start as a Guardian today. He hasn't pitched a game since September 1st. His fingers appear to be healthy. Right move, wrong move?
That is such an odd sentence to say. Jeez. I mean, I would have had Ben Lively on the roster, but that's just me. I'm a bit anxious. I'm still going over my head the idea that you needed Class A to get out of the eighth and then you have him sit there, even though it was a quick inning. Still, I'm not comfortable with that. I am convinced.
And he gets the first two outs of the ninth inning without any problems?
Yeah, I know. If they had gotten out of the ninth, I would have bet every dollar in my pocket, which who carries cash these days is not that much, that they were going to walk it off in the bottom of the ninth. Like, I just knew it in every ounce of my being. It didn't happen, but today is a nice day. I heard it was a good day. I think Hammy was on somewhere yesterday, and he said the players get over these games far faster than we do, and he is right in that regard. And let's move on. Let's move on and go get a win in Detroit.
You like the Guardians
at home?
Do you still
in
like
Detroit? Yes, yeah, in Detroit.
It's all the same. Same time zone. Are you confident in the Guardians to be able to win this series?
Yes. Absolutely.
Four?
Look, I'd prefer four, but the idea that they were going to waltz to the World Series undefeated, I think, is foolish, and that's the way you got to look at it. Step back and breathe and go big picture. I think we'd feel a lot differently if they just lost 5-2, right, on Monday. That would feel different. It's the way they lost. Obviously, that makes it feel worse, but today's a new day. I am, as you guys hopefully have heard a little bit, with the Browns, I'm always going to be as optimistic as humanly possible. And I'm the same with that this week as well.
Keiter Montero starting for the Tigers. So they're going righty. We probably won't see him for five innings, but he's capable. Steven Vogt all year has said, hey, I'm going to put a lineup out there to defeat the starting pitcher. Does that hold true in a bullpen game?
Oh, that's interesting. I mean, we had that issue Saturday, right? I mean, the Tigers pulled their guy so quickly, and you're like, well, why is Noel in there? I am all for putting your best lineup out there regardless, and I would also look at it this way, is that if your best lineup, even if it's not a bullpen game, knocks the guy out early, then, you know, you're going to have to make lineup decisions early if you're going to play the lefty-righty nonsense. But I would always assume that you're going to hit well and get the other team into the bullpen early. Who are we talking about? I haven't seen the lineup yet.
We haven't either.
Okay. I didn't think so.
All right.
I'd like to see Manzardo get in that batter, too.
Yeah.
That's been the theme of the show so far.
Yeah.
Just so you know. All right. Let's switch gears. Let's talk about the bread and butter here. We'll talk about the Browns. Your thoughts on how they can hit the reset button going into this game in Philly?
That's a fascinating question, isn't it? I would love to see, and I am on Team Zach Zinsser as a bright future. I'm not calling for any one benching specifically, but, you know, if Michael Dunn, who was up and active last week for the first time all season, is truly healthy, I would love to see how that offensive line looks with him at right guard. We're just talking what can change, right? Because that's what Nathan and I were talking about in the fourth quarter last week when it became apparent that they were going to lose the game. It's like, well, what can change? That's one thing. The quarterback change is not happening. I don't think a play caller change is happening, nor, by the way, do I think a play caller change should happen. I am not for that in any way, shape, or form. You got to do the little things better. You know, even with the disaster that was the first possession of the third quarter sequence down on the 2 yard line. I mean, look, JOK makes a perfect play, right? Loads up, hits Terry McLaurin cleanly, forces the fumble, two nice Deshaun plays to Amari to get him down to the two, and then everything falls apart. Even with all of that, he had a wide open Jerry Jeudy in the corner of the end zone, right? In the mesh, he puts his hand up, he's there, he doesn't see him. They can still score and get in that game. It's those little things, like when the protection is good, he may not see it. And when the protection is bad, he can still make, like, rarely does everything sync up at the same time. You just need that to sync up at the same time. I'm not an excuse maker. I still go back to, we saw enough good in Vegas. Like, there was an 82-yard touchdown pass that happened that gave them the lead and they're likely winning. That got called back on what we still all agree is a suspect call. So there is good there. You just need more of it.
Do they need to run the ball more? Is the
absolutely. Okay. Yes. But, I mean, that didn't work this past week. The Commanders came out, and that D-line was better than the Browns O-line, period, full stop. They controlled the line of scrimmage, so they were not able to run the football, and a lot of those running numbers were padded late when the game was already over. So they need to run the – look, they need to do something better on first down. If it's run the football, that's great. If it's short passing, that's great. But they can't keep getting behind the sticks, because their third downs aren't third and twos, they're third and eights. And third and eights, nobody wins except the defense.
What would you like to see out of Deshaun Watson to make him a better quarterback, or is it a matter of the offensive line? What would you like to see him change or do?
Oh, it's clearly both.
Yeah.
It is clearly both. And that's the thing. One plays well, the other doesn't. And that's what you're trying to get, is both of them getting enough consecutive plays together where everything is working. You saw the opening drive of the Raiders game, 15 plays, 9.5 minutes off the clock. Like I said, it can be done. But what I would like, and listen, I am not a Dan Orlovsky, Kurt Warner, all 22. This is your read and this is where your eye should be. I am never going to pretend to be able to be a coach here and tell you that there's an open guy running here, there's an open guy running there. But when it is there, you got to be confident. You got to rip it. And there are plays to be made. You just got to take the layups more consistently. And he's also making plays when it isn't there. Like the touchdown to Amari that got called back in Vegas, that was a great impromptu. Hey, you moved up in the pocket. You jumped. You got drilled. I mean, he got drilled on that play and still delivered a great pass. You're just not stringing enough of those together consistently.
Other teams have offensive line issues, don't seem to have offensive line issues that dominate what we see on the field. I think we've kind of seen that from the Browns. They haven't figured it out. Why? What do you think's going on?
That's a great question, and I don't have an answer for you, Andy. That's a great answer. The Browns in years past have been able to overcome offensive line injuries. They have not been able to do that this year. They simply have not. But they got to find a way to do that. And they got to find a way as well to put on tape and tell other teams that on third down, when you bring the house, we're going to pick it up. We're going to protect our quarterback, because they get in third long. And, I mean, it's not a secret what the other teams are doing. They smell blood in third long. They bring the pressure. A lot of it's up the middle, and the line's not holding up. It's just not happening. And when you have that on tape, teams are going to exploit it until you prove that you can stop it.
How does an NFL team that's 1-4 suddenly learn how to tackle? Because tackling seems to be a big issue for this defense that is kind of been, if the offense wasn't so bad, I wonder what we'd really be saying about the defense right now. But, you know, it's just when you look statistically across the board, the Browns defense is meh. They're right there in the middle.
I still think it's good enough to win, and it's obviously performing at a more consistent level than the offense. I think we could all agree on that. Yeah, they've missed too many tackles. I thought last week it was certainly – look, what's frustrating is there are dozens of great tackles on tape. It's the breakdown here, the breakdown there, and then those breakdowns go for huge plays, right? I mean, they talked all last week about the, getting back to the tackling fundamentals, and 90% of the time they're fine. 95% of the time they're fine. It's the 5% that you're not fine that kill you, and those go for explosives. I mean, look again, look at how the game opened last week. You force a three and out. Washington had gone a couple of weeks without punting. Tressway was on the side of a milk carton. The guy was golfing all week. He doesn't need to be at football practice. You forced a three and out immediately. Second drive, you look good as well. Now, granted, he gave up the long scramble play, or I'm sorry, the play that Jaden Daniels made on the run where he hit McLaurin deep, but then you forced the turnover right after that. JOK played his tail off, by the way. But also give Jaden Daniels credit. I mean, that was a ridiculous throw by a ridiculous player on the run. All right, that was an amazing play. I know I'm rambling away from the tackling conversation.
Sorry.
It's hard in the NFL when you don't tackle, obviously, during, certainly don't practice tackling during the season. You know, you don't bring anyone into the ground. So it's hard to pick those fundamentals back up.
You talked about optimism earlier. Andy and I usually err on the side of being optimistic. I pointed this out the other day, and I don't think this is being optimistic as much as it is being realistic. Even with all of the nonsense, you're two games out in the division.
Correct.
And
isn't that ridiculous?
Yeah.
Like, look at Robert Saleh got fired with a chance.
Yes.
And they're 2-3.
They could be in first place.
With a chance to go into first on Monday night.
Yes.
Yeah.
That makes me think, okay, get it together and let's make this thing a season.
Get it together and just look, get into a position where you could play meaningful games in October. It's being overly optimistic. It's a glass half full, and it's trying to speak it into existence. Like Kevin said last week, let's get a Guardians-Phillies World Series. Let's speak it into existence. If the Browns can find a way to win, and it's a new week, people. It is a new week. If they can find a way to win this week, the optimism of coming home for three games, three-game homestand, right, against teams you can beat. Yeah,
where they were, what, 8-1 last year at home?
Yes. Not your own two this year, but 8-1 last year.
Yep.
It'll feel a lot different next week.
I'll give you another.
You can get a win this week. Go ahead.
Just Nick Chubb, too. Possibility of Nick Chubb being back.
Exactly. Yeah. And look, Kevin's going to speak in, 25 minutes? So we'll get an update there. I would assume they're going to give him as much of a runway as possible, and I'd be mildly surprised if he played this week. I think it's better get him at home, get him on the grass. That's just me, right? I think we see him next week. Imagine that energy for coming off a win and you're back at home, and Nick Chubb's coming out of the tunnel. Mm. Yeah, wouldn't that be awesome?
It would be awesome.
Look forward to hearing you on Sunday.
Fresh off of Dave Matthews and Q-Tip bringing the house down the night before.
It's true. It's true.
By the way, yours truly has probably been to 35 Dave Matthews concerts.
Nice.
So,
we look forward to hearing you and not Dave Matthews on Sunday. Thank you, buddy.
What would you say if they won, though? See what I did there?
Yeah, I did.
That was nice.
I saw him once. That was enough for me. Thank you.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Wow. Thank you, sir. Sorry, goodbye.
Andrew Siciliano joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He'll be calling the game Browns-Eagles coming up on Sunday. Browns got to do it. Chris Rose, NFL Network, our buddy who does a great day on Game Day Final, Browns preseason TV, next on Baskin and Phelps.